Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. Running into transforming anger, we're working with houses five and six, and anger's healthy role is all about movement and momentum. So, for today's intentions, I'm going to invite you to really be curious to see how that gets reconciled with the session, if it does, it may not, and to notice what you notice amongst it. Think of your intentions less as a prescription or an order for me to fulfill, and more for something for you to be curious about and wonder, like, hey, I wonder like where that's jiving up against my own system and what that means and what that might offer me, and if I, need to pursue and explore anything else further amongst it all. So, on that note, I'm going to invite you to be as curious as you possibly can be for our journey today. We'll see where we head into. Hey, and as always, a beautiful treat to get to share time in these ways. So, thank you so much for being here exactly as you are. I'm going to invite you to get comfier and cozier. And we're going to settle on in here by means of breathing. Every breath, an opportunity to call in. To drink in life. To let yourself really marinate in the fullness of you. Every exhale, an opportunity to release. To let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that feels like, yummy, useful, nourishing in some way, something neutral, we invite you to take time to pause and drink that on in. And as you let yourself marinate and steep a little bit more with that breath by breath, I'm going to invite you to also take a moment to look around your either internal world or your external space and drink in the, again, beautiful, useful, simply neutral items that show up. It might not even be an item, might be like the way the light plays in the little intersections where shadows show up. Where the negative space around that plant gets created in between the leaves. Whatever it is that shows up for you, invitation to let yourself really be called into it. And let yourself linger on one item now, in particular, one item, and drink that on in. Naming the qualities of it that you like the most. And letting yourself really layer by layer, bit by bit, continue to call it in a little bit deeper, to savor it, to breathe it inside of you. To let it rumble through you. As that happens, noticing how the system responds, knowing that there may be a wide array of responses. Some parts may land really beautifully, other parts may feel a little bit challenging. I'm going to invite you to see if you can just notice, just for now, tease those apart and drink in the parts that just feel useful and neutral, giving your brain a bit of practice to drink that in. And as it continues to steep here, to savor here, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all of our compassionate helpers, seen and unseen, who gather here with us. Thank you for holding this space safe and sacred with reverence and care, nourishing us and guiding us along this journey. And we ask that for today, our intentions be honored in a way that we get to meet with curiosity, with presence, with spaciousness. And as we explore today, we ask that today's session unfold in the highest potentiality available within grace, in ways that grace the earth as a whole, grace each other, our families, our ancestors, our lineage, and grace this world as a broader whole. Thank you. Om Shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. As we settle on in, we're actually running hydration for your earth elements. Yeah. And it's like we're watering the ground that the fire is meant to move through and to expand. So as we work with hydration, bringing in water and joy, releasing any impurities that no longer need to be here through the element of all that is the earthiness of you, it sets the stage for there to be enough water to balance out the fire of the houses. 5, houses 6 that are very much interested in creating expansion in your world, connecting you to a broader whole, connecting you to beyond the realm of what it is you think that you know. They meet the edges of that which is unknown through your social world. So using social connection to expand what it is you thought you knew and to deepen into that by means of, well, house 5 would say play, and house 6 would say practicality. Yeah, so by means of deepening that with practical play or playing practically, if you want to really do both at the same time, why not? And then we're going to run a cellular repair, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're actually doing it for your endocrine system, which almost has a sense of depletion and no longer available to nourish the way that it was meant to nourish your hormones. There's a sense of lackingness here. And there's a sense here of that being related to feeling burnt out by excess anger responses in your external environment, whatever that actually means. And the type of anger that's burning it out is related to, because it's in your seemingly external environment, hooked into to blame. And it's hooked into you basically feeding the part of you that knows how to protect itself by means of blaming, which is our martyr, our victim essence, our archetypes. And this type of anger, generally speaking, never gets resolved. There's a sense of deep powerlessness because we're looking for resolution to happen out there versus in here. And this is gonna be tricky territory. I'm gonna grab a Kleenex here. Okay. And there's a sense here of being burnt out. So the part of you that's traditionally used to holding rage, which is what's coming up right now, and rage is traditionally associated with some part anger and some part fear. But the part of you that's used to protecting yourself with rage, it's actually ready for something different to happen. It's ready for something to settle here. It's looking for protection to happen in a different way. And on that note, we're linking it through to the heart center, through to the center of harmony itself. And it's looking for connection to a greater whole, or connection through to a sense of feeling unified with others. And as we just begin to touch into that territory, that can be a lot for our psyches to make that big of a jump. So think of this as just setting the stage, seeding the territory here. And here we're running one more cellular repair, again, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. We're doing this for the long-held pattern that's been not just in you, but was learned through the ancestral lines going back 6 generations of learning. 6 generations of learning what it was to be particularly enraged through abandonment, feeling like so alone, so abandoned, that was terrifying, scary, but also a sense of I get to be mad at you for doing that, and I get to feel really right about that. And that actually being akin to, I'm going to liken it to the very first sense of separation in your womb space where awareness crept in. So before you were aware, there was a sense of complete oneness. And when there was awareness, there was a sense of separation enough that there was a division of unity, a division from unity. You were no longer in that oceanic, blissful, unified state. There's a sense of you being separate from that bigger thing, that bigger you. And in that moment of awareness, there became a sense of dis-ease in the system, a sense of not feeling at ease, a sense of feeling again fearful and terrified, almost a sense of shock that came with it. And this was the first separation. This was the first disassociation. It's the first time you began to learn to fragment yourself. And the fragmentation was necessary in order to be creative, in order to have life express itself through the various different layers of you, and in order for you to be ultimately an individual who gets to also somehow later on be in touch equally with the unified field, but as an individual. That in turn is the very short answer to a very long journey in life. But coming back here just a little bit, going back to again that first separation, that womb space where awareness snuck in, where awareness crept in. And there was a sense here of, again, abandonment. When awareness pops up, there's the sense of I am. And before awareness, there was just simply I. Yeah. And in that sliver, there was a learned response. Yeah. And amongst that, there was also a connection to awareness that you were in a broader whole, that broader whole being mom. So there is an intense rage actually towards the maternal, intense rage towards the mother, intense rage towards all the things that nourish or nurture. An intense rage around the loss of innocence that went with that. And that became a lot to quote unquote face in one's life. It became a little bit too difficult to like take that head on. So over time, there was a learned, we just blame other people for that. We blame mom. We blame whoever it was after that. Yeah. And this was learned instinctually. Because it was in your mother's nervous system to do the same thing. It's oh so human. And she learned it from her mother, who learned it from her mother, who learned it from her mother. Wombs upon wombs upon wombs of this layer of, I'm going to call it straight up ignorance, around where the abandonment was coming from. That sense of separation has been long judged by many religions as sinful versus actually seeing that fall of complete unification from complete unification as a very creative act. Yeah, and amongst that, we're unhooking the belief system that to create, to come alive, is somehow sinful. That to have your symptom of dis-ease settle and have aliveness fulfill that same place is somehow wrong. And amongst that, the belief system, you should not be happy. Yeah. And because of that, there's this ongoing saga in life that fulfills. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, looking for ways to then not be happy, ways to actually, shall we say, suffer and continue to embrace our inner martyr, who then in turn has a savior to protect us. Alongside of that, we're going into some big concepts here today. We're working with reconciliation to whatever degree it's available right now of the spiritual ego, which was formed shortly after this separation as a way of, again, looking at the sense of protection, the sense of this is how I'm going to stay safe here amongst all this fear, all this rage, all this anger. And a sense of forming your sense of All the things that you consider to be spiritual. So that might be your intuition, your psychic nature. It might be the spiritual concepts that you hold. And they're in alignment, intertwined, interwoven with this fragment of your psyche, who's been working overtime to keep you safe in the face of all that fear. So we start to reconcile this particular territory that began in the womb space itself. We're working here with the sense of that it's safe to breathe. It's safe to have breath flow through you. That it's safe to be breathed by life itself. Yeah. And amongst that all, doing an emotional release of anger from, dare I say, the time that you abandoned yourself and learned how to blame it on everybody else around you. I know this territory very well, by the way, because it's in me, which is how I know it's in you and how I know it's in every human out there. This part exists. This part exists within the human psyche. And it's meant to be here until it's no longer needed. So we're just simply shining the spotlight on this little layer that's ready to be seen and acknowledged today. And it's all hanging out in various different components of our systems, but it's interwoven primarily through the heart space. It's interwoven in the part of you that learned to, quote unquote, be the good person, be the humane, caring, kind person in order to be seen as worthy of connection by other human beings. So it's the way of coping with the fear of disconnection, a way that you learned how to cope with the fear of separation in the womb space. So here we're bringing in, and I don't think I've ever spoken about this as a form of circulation. We're actually going into the intrauterine space, the womb, which is where we first experience a certain type of flow that wasn't your blood flow or nerve flow, that sort of flow, but a type of flow that was associated when you were in connection with unity, when you were flowing with, I'm going to refer to it as organicity, which is certainly not my own concept. This comes from Dr. Ron Kurtz's work in Hakomi. So organicity is the sense that it's really like an orientation towards a deep reverence of life that invites the radical trust that the pulse of wholeness is already present inside every one of our fragments. It's what helps us to remember to breathe. It's what breathes us when we forget how to breathe. And it's the intelligence that orchestrates healing. Body Talk would call it our innate wisdom. Hakomi calls it our organicity. I'm going to call it our flow state, our oceanic, blissed out flow state that began before you were ever born, which is perhaps the pulse of the living field itself. It's the hum beneath your traumas. It's the pattern beneath the chaos. It's what breathes us when we forget again how to do that for ourselves. It helps us to relinquish control and to bow to timing that is no longer our own. And instead of making something happen, it gives us space to listen for what wants to happen, to allow. It's the humility to follow, not lead, to allow the psyche to reveal itself when it's ready, and to move from having to fix to listening, from forcing to following, and allowing awareness to ripen at its own pace. As you take a moment to drink that in, imagine what it was like as you were in the womb space. And as you were in complete connection with that complete immersion with presence. that complete connection with aliveness, which was fed by the cycle of what wanted to emerge and what wanted to dissolve with equanimity, which is mirrored today in your very breath, the rise, the fall, the still point between. And even if we can just begin to imagine what that was like, it can begin to soothe the system, the nervous system, your system. It can begin to give a sense of compassion. It can begin to give a sense of safety enough to surrender into something that is bigger than what it is you think you have already limited yourself to be. I promise you, there's something beyond this. And as we work with this, it helps to imagine, to breathe. We're linking this into the parts of you that feel unworthy, that are inadequate. The parts of you that are particularly are related to that essence, that consciousness, that are held within the low back. And the part of you that learns that you should be doing more here. You have to earn this. Who do you think you are getting to actually just relax? Who do you think you are getting to be happy? And related to this, we're heading into the various muscles that make up our glutes. Minimus, medius, maximus, all three layers. And we're looking at the vitality that was weakened from the anger, from the rage, from the fear pieces that were interwoven here. As we work with the butt muscles, we're linking this again into house six that says, I should be doing something that's more practical than this. I should be doing something that's meant to be in service of my wholeness, when perhaps this is actually the state where we're meant to surrender into our being essence. You can't outdo being. So you can't do more to be more. There isn't anything to do that serves being. Doing serves doing, being serves being. And we're actually going to defrag that. We're going to run a defrag on the parts of you that like to do things and the parts of you that like to just simply be. As we do that, we're running it through the left knee, through a sense of not being able to trust that life is enough, the fear that life is enough. And that in turn is linking into the heart space. Harmony, respect, connection to dignity, and connection to connection all at the same time. Get to hang out here as we simultaneously link it through to the navel for centering within the central axis of you. And to support that, we talked about this a while back, but centering you and your own central authority, working through the essence of Saturn to bring that in. Related to that, looking at the same time as all of that, the anger towards learned ignorance that came in through just doing what your parents did, because that's how they made it through, so surely that can work for you too. Working at the learned ignorance, particularly as it related to not being able to hold your own sense of permeability structured within your boundaries. Boundaries are meant to be nothing more than a permeability, a membrane, which gets to dynamically evolve, gets to dynamically emerge and dissolve in your own timing when you're ready for you. And that in turn is linking into the throat, the thyroid that hangs out here, in a fear of expression, I'm you. And I don't mean verbally, but looking at the nonverbal expression of you within your own system, not even relationship to anybody else, but the essence of expression of you within your own being. And how deeply is that allowed? Working with the surrender into pleasure of creation of you. And unhooking you from your parents' conception story of you. Because that's their history, not yours. We're going to tease that apart. We're going to give this a few breaths. We're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. And then we're working with another round of rage, hanging out in the liver meridian where it covers up the heart, much like a superhero emblem would. There's a sense of having to be heroic in order to be prepared to fight that, you know, like a hero does in a hero's journey at the very end of it, they fight the big boss. Like in a Mario Brothers game, if you're familiar with that reference from Nintendo days, from Nintendo eras, if you're a 90s baby like me, it would be like the Bowser or whoever like the big boss at the end of a video game might be. You can use your imagination. And we're working here with that, shall I say, need for having to protect yourself again through the lens of rage from that which you have perceived as the biggest darkness there is. Which is why the spiritual ego got formed in its first place. This is where it got conceived, that there was such a depth of evil that you needed to be the lightest light there could be. And unfortunately, it actually is a bit of a misnomer, as the spiritual ego actually holds both. It holds your lightest light and your darkest dark. So I invite you to consider that within this dark, there is a fertility. There is a fertile darkness here, which is meant to actually be of support. The thing that we fear is actually meant to hold us. It's meant to support us by means of being with it, by facing it, to let ourselves be with it, and to let ourselves break down, which is not very accepted by our society at large. We're meant to actually have momentary times in our life where we dissolve. This is seen, in fact, in rites of initiation, in rites where people do something that's hard, that's challenging, that creates some level of even instability as they're doing it because they're facing fear amongst it all. So it's that type of instability I refer to here. It's that type of dissolution I refer to here. And we're supporting your system and reconciling that amongst, again, all the rage it thinks it needs to fight this big fear within you, which was created by you, so you could come to awareness and then move beyond that into presence itself. With this, running a cellular repair, we're looking at this lifetime acquired in nature. It's going all the way through to the liver meridian, which is associated with the 12th house. And we're looking here at the rage at creation that's first encountered within the fifth house itself. Rage against innocence, rage against play, rage against all the things that you learned at some point that you thought were good, but were somehow also associated with some level of danger. So you learned you shouldn't be happy by having those things. As we support the system and releasing this through the liver meridian, we're running a Sidri on this pattern. It's going to continue for the next 12 days till October 27th, or 12 days from whenever you listen to this session. Starting with C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with cheer, vitality, consciousness through awareness, right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal at all levels, including our nervous system and our immune system. Then we're working with the balance of yin, the feminine essence of nourishment, and yang, the masculine essence of protection. Running hydration here, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that no longer needs to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's. Reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And we're giving this a tap out here. Invitation to breathe. Invitation to receive. Giving that a slow, deep breath. Doing an emotional release of sadness now. That's underlying the anger found within that liver meridian, found within that layer of heart protection, found within that which is protecting your fifth house. Going back to age 3. And there was a felt understanding of a sense that your parents, your caregivers, whoever it was that raised you, were not as deeply in touch with the essence of love as you knew to be true, as at a level of instinct. There was a known awareness of that. But your system was not able to overly have the concepts to express that, overly deal with frustrations around that. So it fell into a certain level of hopelessness or despair. They got trapped around the heart space. And there was a sense of feeling sadness around the confusion around your world in this vein. A sense that other adults were also equally lost, that other people in your culture or society were equally lost. And there's a sense of, how will I ever find my way? Now, this wasn't quite in those words back then. When you were three, there was more just a sense of upset, feeling lost, feeling sad, feeling disconnected. Fancy word, feeling disassociated, or fancier, shall I say. From a three-year-old's perspective, that's a pretty big word. Here we're going to unhook a bundle of belief systems as well. Then you have to do it like other people did. But the only way to do it is through the known ways that you've seen role modeled, versus taking the chance to do it in a different way that feeds your essence, that feeds your spirit, that's alignment with your creative impulse. And we're running here the permissions that it's safe to create your own response, your own capacity, your own your own sense of newness. It's safe for you to find your way, and it's safe to create your own way without knowing. In fact, the knowing has become the obstacle to the creation. And we're running permissions here to that three-year-old. We're doing the repair for them back then. The words are simply here. I trust you know your way. I trust you know your way. I trust you know your way. We're tapping this out here, invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. Giving that a slow, deep breath. I invite you to wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes in a way that honors your creative essence. So honoring a little bit of movement, the impulse to move through your system, however it calls to you in this moment to be alive. Letting that anger actually have a little bit more space to be taken up through your even limbs, through your lower arms, lower legs, moving slowly into the upper arms, upper legs, whether you're seated or laying, all the way into any other areas that it feels like it wants to flow until it arises through the neck and the head. And then however you're moving, I'm going to invite you to slow that down to half speed, to turtle speed version of that. You might need to half it again. Slowing it down to be really mindful about your movements. And studying the impulse of how it is your body wants to move here in its very origination, because it got to choose that. There's a sense of you created that. And we're linking that into the sixth house, so you have a practical blueprint of how you get to actually tangibly create you. Nothing you need to figure out. The body already has this in it. We're just simply connecting the dots again, back together. And we're linking that into the small intestine, into the small intestine meridian, which works with nourishment. The message here being that as we honor our own creative impulse, we become deeply nourished from the inside out. We drink in nourishment in a way that brings in the sense where we get to have enzymatic action at a digestive system level, which breaks down the old. It's the place where we also simultaneously dissolve, where we become a bit of an internal, I'm going to say compost pile. Not the sexiest metaphor I've ever used, but nonetheless accurate. This area where we begin to break down nourishment by means of allowing for the old ideologies, the old archetypes, the old identities, the old learnings, the old belief systems, the old awarenesses to release, to let go, so that the new can be created from this compost pile. And this is what is referred to as nourishment. This is the act of creation in a way that nourishes you, that creates health, because it creates, not even creates, within it is a simple awareness that you are whole. And this is how we provide service to our body, how we can practically reassess what needs to be created next in a way that's in alignment with your curiosity, in alignment with how you wish to communicate your essence, your desire to the world, in a way that's practical, in a way that can't help but feed you back. So when you honor you, you're somehow fed deeply from the inside out. We're linking that to the right side of the face, in particular the jaw. And we're working here with the fear, the terror of being yourself. And we're working here with it's an interesting permission, and I think we've actually seen it before, not too long ago. The words are here, you can trust your mouth. You can trust your mouth. And with that, we're working with your capacity to speak from your heart. It's communicated from your right brain, over on that right side of your face head, versus speaking solely from intellect or the known, allowing you to let yourself roll with whatever is on the tip of your tongue in your own unique expression, your own unique way that you get to offer your vibe to this world. Interestingly enough, we're linking that to the genitals, consciousness of grounding, coming from a deep grounded place within you, to give that sense of empowerment, that sense of balance, that sense of coming from your very bones, your very core, your very essence of you. Running a cellular repair, the capacity to literally offer your sense of presence from the very deep essence of your base chakra, from the very core below your genitals, from your very base essence of groundedness. It might just be what it means to be grounded within yourself. As we support the system in these ways, releasing the fear of being left out, of not being included by others, which is where you learn to leave yourself out and to fear disconnection over what it meant to be in loss of you, to be out of touch with you. So better you disassociate from you, lose touch with yourself, than be in disconnection with another. Otherwise, you might simply die. As we unwind that through this base chakra level, were simultaneously unhooking it from again house 6 on small intestine. In particular, that first saw components, which is, I didn't mention this earlier, but that's what I was speaking to when I was talking about the enzymes and the composting, was this duodenum, if you like to say it that way, the first component of your small intestine, followed by the second component, your jejunum, and the third, the ileum. But working first and foremost with just this particular area right now, it's like the beginning of what it means to be nourished by practicality. The beginning of what it means to include you. We're linking this into the Wei Qi, which is this like energetic layer that surrounds us, that helps to give us our sense of boundary of us from other people. We often talk about it from a Chinese medicine sense of protection, because it does that. When you're centered within you, you are innately protected to the point where you can actually lay down the protection that we were referring to earlier in that liver meridian in that 12th house that was used to face the big boss of your own fear. As we work with the Wei Qi, we're going to work with it on all frequencies. It's got a few. And as we support your system in this way, it's being defined by the consciousness of coming fully alive. Coming fully alive. And contained with that, within that, releasing the shock of any places where you severed the tie from yourself, all the way back to the first separation of the very first moment awareness crept in the space of the womb itself. If that aligns with your worldview. We're going to tap this out here, invitation to breathe and receive, however feels right for you. And if within any of this time that we spent together, there's a sense of something's been stirred up, something feels like there is an impulse or a restlessness, something's coming alive within me that's unfamiliar, that's new, that I've never had happen before. I invite you to welcome it in and to make a little sound. The sound might be voo, or ah, or ng, or mm, or or ah. Your sound, however it may be, however it may evolve, is welcome to be as little or as big as you'd like it to be. And if you're not in a place where you can make that sound, doing it in imagination works just as well. If you can, doing it out loud, letting the vibration of your own sound match whatever that felt sense of impulse, aliveness, you might be perceiving it as restlessness. There might even be a sense of, this is uncomfortable and I don't like it. That's how you know you're onto something good, onto something big. I invite you to turn towards it and lean in and make the sound that matches it. Letting you know and letting it know in your own language and in your own sound that you're here to meet it and you're here to be with it, that you're here to speak its languaging that may likely not be with words. Maybe in the realm of the nonverbal, but that you're willing to meet it in a new way that's creative from the inside out. We're linking that to cortices to balance us through the, I want to say nervous system, but it's really through that system of you, which is beyond your nervous system. You are not your nervous system. You're not any one of your body parts. But as we balance cortices to you, it's being defined as the consciousness of presence itself, and we're linking that through to the navel. And then down through, particularly the right leg, releasing the energy of revulsion from the right side, the entire right side, the masculine side, as well as energy of solidity from the lumbar spine, and energy of disgust from the cervical spine as we do this. All of this, this last part, since last tap out, we're defining by the consciousness of reclaiming your innocence, which, if I'm doing my job right, and if you're doing your job well, will not be comfortable. And making sure that it's tolerable enough. It's not meant to be going over our edges. That it's tolerable enough, but not necessarily comfortable. And as we embrace the discomfort, we learn it's safe. I'm safe enough to be amongst the discomfort. Enough to find something different here. Enough to be a little bit lost in order to get found in a new location again. That is the cycle of dissolutions, of emergence, of organicity. And there's a time in your life where you knew how to do this so deeply well it felt good to your system. You were back in the womb space likely at that juncture. There was a time where you knew how to do this really easily in a way that brought in deep nourishment. And we're just simply remembering what that is. We're relearning how to be that again. And it's not all at once. It's breath by breath, so staying in the realm of tolerability. And linking this through to, again, the 12th house, to release, to surrender, to let go of all that no longer serves. By means of acknowledging the value that that burden, that that weight at one point carried for your system, and giving it a depth of honor for having been enough of the way through at that point in time, and thanking it. Going through the family lines into Dad's side, going back four generations to the emotional frequency of anger. And a sense of feeling like you had to do something with your energy, that you couldn't contain it. That potency needed to be expressed or else you were impotent. And releasing that judgment through four generations of men before you. Linking to the permissions, and this has nothing to do with having a baby, although it could. And the words are simply, I accept my fertility. Slight variation, I accept my abundant fertility. Oh, I'm changing it one last time. I accept my abundant, fertile nature. Got it, holding there. I accept my abundant, fertile nature. And we're linking that through to your right brain, through your creative essence, through to your heart, your creative organ, through to your very core presence, the beginning of creation before it was even created, the realm of the uncreated, which has a deep layer of potency. And helping your masculine essence to tolerate that as being the seed of creation before it even was expressed. And to tolerate the vitality of that energetic hum that comes with it, to be a pulse of that living field, alive within it, alive within you. And we're tapping this out here, invitation to again breathe and to receive here. And that too can feel agitating, that too can feel restless, that too can feel like it's stirring things up. As much as you can tolerate that, welcoming that to be here. Giving that a round of breath. I'm going to invite you, in particular if you're feeling agitated or restless in some way, to move your body to this next song. Anger loves movement. It loves to create momentum in our lives. And the song here is a little bit peppier and upbeat. You're welcome just to simply breathe and receive. If you're feeling like you're deep inward, please stay there. Honoring whatever feels right for you. It's by Michael Franti, yeah, and the Spearheads. It's called Meet Me When the Sun Goes Down. It's about 3 minutes. If you wish, touch into that resource that we found earlier, call that in, drink that in, and be with us.
Take all of your prayers and all of your cares. Take all of your good times and ones you can't bear. Take all of the hassle, all of the hustle, and roll it all up like one piece of the puzzle. Take all of your people and all of their dreams. Take all your laughs and the tears in between. Call to your maker, up to the sky. Throw it up high and meet me when the sun goes down.
Sound in your exhale. Shake that on out. Give that a shimmy shake. Do one more of those. Deep breath in. And deep breath out. A little bit of movement, a little bit of sound. However that feels right for your system in this moment. Thank you. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you for being here exactly as you are. Thank you, thank you, thank you for what came through today. And we ask that I continue to be of service to this world as a broader whole. Om, shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Thanks, everybody. Appreciate it. Look forward to next week. We are at the earlier morning time, 9 a.m. Mountain Time. Please double check when you change time zones. I know the UK does it at the end of October, and Canada doesn't do it till November. So it's going to get wonky there for a couple of weeks. So feel free to prep that ahead of time. I do not do time zone math very well, so use the time zone converters that are out there, and just keep on checking it weekly for the next, 4 weeks or so. And then we should catch everybody, depending upon when we change those time zones. Yes, thank you. Glad it was resonant. You're most welcome. Oh, I got a sweater, my compliment. Thank you. I got a compliment to my sweater. I always love it when you call it a jumper. I just love that. Okay. Thank you all. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your day. Bye for now.